up? I'm Matt Stinson.
I am a beer nerd.
Gooseberry, pumpernickels. I have a love-hate relationship with IPA. Crushable, very chuggable. What kind of hops you have in this one? When I taste it, it tastes crisp. Is it a dog tag that's in there? Now let's go ahead and share the love with the other staff who are looking at us, drinking all this beer, wishing they could do it.
Hello, and welcome to another beer podcast. In this episode, I sat down with Todd Baldwin, who is founder and president of Red Leg Brewing Company in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we get into everything. We talk about how he got to Colorado, what he did in the 101st Airborne Division. And actually, he and I were in the same unit at the same time. We didn't even know it. So that's kind of crazy. We get into how he started his brewery, which was less than orthodox, including how he financed it. And we just shoot the shit and have a lot of fun time. So without further delay, let me give you Todd Baldwin of Red Leg Brewing Company from Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Okay, so Todd, thanks for coming on the podcast. It's awesome.
My pleasure. Yeah, good to be here.
Glad to have you in studio all the way from Colorado Springs.
Colorado Springs. Yes,
and
sir.
You got some beer in front of you. You brought plenty, which that's what I love to see. But before we get into that, you and I kind of have a connection that I didn't know when I cold emailed you.
Yeah.
Is that we were in the same brigade at Fort Campbell with the 101st Airborne Division, and you were in the 2nd Battalion. You're No Slack.
Yep.
2327, so 2nd Battalion, 327th Infantry. And what did you do for No Slack?
I was a fire support officer for Charlie Company, 2nd 327.
Okay, so a fister for those who know the lingo, and those who don't be offended. I promise you it's used on a daily basis in a non-derogatory term.
Yep.
Fire support specialist. And did you deploy?
I did. I went to Iraq with them 2007 and 8.
So you were in Kirkuk?
I was in Samara.
You're in Samara. Oh, okay. So, okay. I deployed twice with them, and my first deployment was with Kirkuk. I guess that was from 05 to 06.
Yep.
And then I was up in Cobb Spiker and Tikrit. I guess that deployment 7 to 8. I made my way. I didn't ever made my way down to Samara. No, I did actually, but I went to Patrol Base Olson.
That's where I was at.
Oh, you're at Olson. Okay. Yep. What was the FOB? It was not really in Samara, but it was north of...
So the one that like our battalion sat at was Brassfield Mora.
That's right, Brassfield Mora.
And then we kind of got detached down to Patrol Base Olson.
Okay.
Then we set up inside the city. Well, those were both inside the city, but we set up Patrol Base Yuvani too.
Okay, I remember
that. So we had two of them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of not the best place to be.
Yeah, no, I only went to PB Olson once.
Yeah.
And I was glad I was only there once, you know. Yeah. I was living the fat life up at Cobb Spiker, right? And I was in military intelligence, so like I was, you know, doing my thing. But that's cool, dude. And
yeah,
like I said, I just emailed you a few weeks ago, told you about this, asked you if you'd be interested in being on it, and you're like, yeah, actually I was in 2327, and that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this dude, kinda, maybe, right?
Yeah.
So
we definitely did the secret handshake when we met.
Yeah, exactly.
So we knew that we were both real. Like, we're both Bastogne guys.
Exactly, Bastogne. Yeah, man, I have a Bastogne shirt still that I usually wear. Honestly, want to sleep or something, but I should wear it.
I still have my No Slack shirt, but I can't wear anymore because I drink too much beer now.
Right.
That's what I was talking about.
As we all do, right? Yeah. So you got out in 09. I got out in 2009. And when did you start the brewery? How'd you get into brewing? Tell me all the backstory.
Awesome question. Kind of a circuitous route to starting Red Leg.
It's a great word, by the way. It's a GRE word.
Dude, there, use it, man. I used to always joke people, if you can't spell it, you can't use it.
Yeah.
And I can't spell it. But
okay,
well, I'm still going to use it.
It's okay.
Boom.
We're podcast, not writing.
Yeah. So I got out and wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I just wrote a desk job in Nashville.
Tennessee.
Just love that town.
Yeah.
Love the vibe. Love hanging out down there. Basically enslaved myself to a cubicle. And after a while, I was like, man, is this like really what I want to do?
It kind of sucks, right?
Like, man, this blows.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the Army. I fought hard for my country, did what they asked me to do. You know, is this really what I serve for?
Yeah.
And I was basically walking in my notice one day just to be like, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. This isn't it. And they're like, hey, before you give us whatever you have in your hand, we want you to help us with an office in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm like, I'm not going to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Right. I was like, no offense to anyone in Little Rock. I'm sure
love
it's a great town.
Little Rock.
Yeah.
But I was just like, man, I've moved so much, you know, after like Benning, Lewis, Sill, deployment back, or, you know, in between mid 15 month pulls, a long time.
Yeah.
And then,
that's right, it's a 15 month deployment.
Yeah.
That's right.
Crazy, right?
Damn, dude.
Just a long time.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
And, so like, well, this is how much we're going to pay you. And I was like, I love Little Rock. Let's call the hogs right now. Let's do it. And I learned it, you know,
go
pig
raise your
suey, right? Yeah. You do all that stuff. So I ended up moving to Little Rock, and about, I don't know, 6-7 weeks into it, I got a new boss. and she was in the Memphis area. Maybe it was like 3 months, just a while. And she was like, hey, I'm going to come visit you guys tomorrow in Little Rock. And I was like, cool, whatever. So she comes out, hangs out with us, meets the team, yada, yada, yada. We go out to dinner, yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't know, like a day or two later, she calls me. She goes, hey, I need you to come to Memphis tomorrow. And I was like, you were just here. Like,
yeah.
Why do I have to go to Memphis? She's like, yeah, no, just come to Memphis. I was like, that's like a 3-hour drive.
I was going
to
say.
And she's like, yeah, no, just come. I need to talk to you about your business development and bring your computer when you come. And I was like, okay. So I hop in the car, you know, had to be there at 8 a.m. So I leave, you know, Little Rock like 4:30 in the morning. Damn. And I show up, they're there to greet me, and they fire me on the spot.
What?
I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Wake up at 4:30, drive across the state, bring your computer because you got to turn it in probably. It's
you
their
got
property.
It. That was what they wanted.
Holy, your business development, which is ending now.
Ending now. No severance, no nothing. We just had moved there, moved everything we had there.
You like probably got, you probably done. Broke your lease or yep. had to do whatever you did.
So jeez, boom, literally dude. Just dropped the bomb on me. So how needless long, to say, I was not a happy camper when all that went down. But, yeah, you know, dude. It was a good life lesson. And that was that. I mean, pretty much that was it. And I drove 3 hours back home, and I was like, never again. I will never put myself in a situation where I can't, my attitude don't dictate how well I do in life. Yeah. And that really opened my eyes to that in corporate America, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's probably not even corporate America. Like, it doesn't happen very often, something like that. But that's basically what happened.
That's an insane story.
So yeah. I had my first homebrew set up about 6 months prior. I had written the initial business plan for Red Leg.
And I was like, for this brewery, yeah. Let's go ahead and open one or two if you want, since we're talking about beer.
So I'll probably start us with, my wife was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, you can go wherever you want to go.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to go to Colorado.
That's what you said?
And, no, that's what she said. Because I moved her all the time, you know? Yeah. And she was like, let's go to Colorado. And I was like, word, where do you want to go? She's like, Colorado, Denver. And I was like, how about Colorado Springs? There's five breweries there, or five military bases there.
Yeah, there are. Air Force Academy, too, right?
Air Force Academy, yeah. Peterson, NORAD, Carson, and Schriever.
Okay. Wow, crazy, I didn't even know that. Huh.
I didn't know this either, but like it's the second largest conglomerate of military outside of D.C. So I left one conglomerate, and then I came to
that
the East Coast conglomerate.
That is good trivia.
So I came out here and started the brewery, man, cranking out about 30 gallons of beer a day. We just got our numbers back today. We sold 35,000 cases of beer last year.
Wow.
So in less than five years, we kind of grew that much in a sweet, you know. In a tough market. I mean, when we started where we are
like
now.
It's like the craft beer capital.
It's like Mecca, man. It's kind of like starts there.
It's crazy. Actually, it does start there. I mean, the big dogs, the New Belgiums.
Yep.
The, God, who makes Dale's Pale Ale?
Odell.
Odell is out there. Yeah.
Out there. Oscar Blues is
Oscar
out there.
Oscar Blues. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, Coors. I mean.
Yeah, Coors.
Call what you want. But
They own
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon is owned by Coors.
Yep.
So the streets run amber or dark, depending on your beer, depending on your taste, with beer in Colorado. And you decided to open up a brewery because your wife is like, let's move to the mountains. Let's move to Colorado.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep. Wow, so that's what we did, man. And we just kind of like. At the time, there's only a few veteran-owned breweries in the country, so this is like 2012.
Okay.
Maybe started in 2012 as far as like getting the ball rolling. There wasn't very many of us out there at the time, so there wasn't a whole lot of people to lean on, ask questions to, or whatnot, so just kind of just went for it. And since day one, we've been grinding and competing in a tough market, but we just keep growing because it's all about quality, man. Like it starts and ends really there. We always tell people, like, we don't want to be known for like veterans brewing beer or like a veteran owned or veteran brewed type thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we highlight it, but
sure.
At the end of the day, like if our beer's not great, then it's going down the drain and we're not gonna let you have it.
Right.
And we always say, like, we want you to like our beer first and think it's cool that we're veterans that are doing it.
Yeah.
Which is really important to us. As a company.
What I like about it is, I mean, your can here is called Red Leg Brewing Company. And could you just explain to people who don't know what a Red Leg is?
Yeah, so it goes all the way back prior Civil War when you get in these long lines of battle. And they used to just smash into each other, right? Well, when you have like 100,000 muskets going off in the battlefield, it creates a lot of smoke. Mm. So just like exit signs are red, just like stop signs are red and fire extinguishers are red, it's because there's smoke building up in there. The only color you can see through smoke is red. So if you're an infantry guy and you push the other side back, you want the guys with the cannons behind you to stop shooting, right? You don't want them to bounce a ball into you.
Yeah,
that would suck.
Yeah, right.
And, when they sent like a guy in a horse messenger, or a guy running to find you to tell you to stop shooting, they could find you faster.
Oh, wow.
So that's where it all started. So, and they put a red stripe down their pant leg.
Wow. And so let's go ahead. Let's drink some of the beer if we can.
No doubt, bro.
What's first one up?
So I'm going to start with Howitzer Amber.
Okay.
But it's in a different package this year because our good friends at the 4th Infantry Division asked us to rebrand one of our packages for the celebration of the 100 years of the 4th Infantry Division.
Is that why I see ivy on it?
So, yeah. So each can has 100 ivy leaves on it.
Okay, so 4th Infantry Division, headquartered at Fort Carson, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
It's if you look at the patch, it's a diamond, and it has four ivy, I guess they're ivy flowers?
Or yep. ivy leaves, I think is what they call them.
And in the Army, we used to say, I'm sure you heard the joke, board, the 4th ID patch is four lieutenants pointing north. Right, because it's pointing in all four directions on this diamond, so that's kind of funny. But it has four ivy, and it, when you see it in color, it is green. And when I look at the can here, it has ivy over it. So that's really like a hometown, like a paying totally. Homage to the unit for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. The can's like designed, so it looks like the leaves are actually growing off the can.
Yeah,
itself.
Definitely look, has that look.
Yeah, just the way it kind of grows, and then obviously ivy division, and then 100 years of service.
Wow.
So yeah, man. So just a really nice malty caramel. Amber,
okay.
Just real smooth drinking, comes in at like 5%, so nothing's going to knock your socks off.
Yeah, so it's good for day drinking, if you will.
I'll put this up to the mic so you can hear it.
Oh, please do. We love sound effects. We're all audio.
Yeah,
here, man.
So good.
Yeah, everyone, this is actual beer, people, and we're passing over thousands of dollars worth of electrical equipment, but it's okay. My bosses don't care.
I don't think they're watching right now.
Mm.
We'll just wave. Hey!
Oh, dude. Okay, so this tastes like a fresh beer. Like, yeah. When was this brewed? Because it tastes so fresh.
So on the bottom, we always put ours, we put Deployed.
Okay.
So ours was deployed the 28th of December.
Okay. I was going to say, it tastes like a
so
fresh
2 weeks.
Beer.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Not bad for traveling
across the country.
1,500 miles today?
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah. You woke up in Colorado today.
I got to the airport at 4:30 this morning in Colorado.
God. You're a better man than I.
Oh, man.
You must be tired.
No, I'm ready to drink some beer.
Yeah. Yeah. This beer is good. It's great. I love ambers. I love the maltiness. I love the sweetness that comes with it. And this is just one. It tastes so fresh that I could just like slam a few back right now.
Yeah, super sessionable. You know,
At 5%, you can have
people really enjoy
fall,
it. Yeah, it kind of falls into that kind of. A lot of people look at it like a Sam Adams lager, Boston lager, kind of. It's not a lager, it's an ale. But,
exactly. Thank you for saying that. So yeah. Right now, but what are, you have like a bunch of cans.
Yeah, I mean, you can have one of each, man. I'll make sure you get some
okay,
here.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, we brought the Howitzer Amber Ivy 100.
Okay.
We brought Hilo Hefeweizen, which is our real nice German Hefeweizen. Hilo, like a helicopter. We brought our two World Beer Cup placing beers, our Blue Nose Brown Ale, which got third in the Brown Porter category in 2016.
Now, what's a Blue Nose for people who don't know?
A Blue Nose is when you cross the Arctic Circle in your boat in the Navy. You're a Blue Nose. So we're the only brewer in history to name one beer that three different colors. So you have like red leg, blue nose, brown ale.
Whoa.
Blows your mind, right? Man, when you think about it.
That's not for us. That's for beer scholars 200 years from now. Yeah. That is that next level shit.
Yeah. I'm so glad this made like the interweb for life.
Yeah, right. That's super
cool. We didn't realize it when we first did it. We're like, man, we just put three colors in that beer. That's a little weird. Well, it sells great. What's not?
Right. Yeah, it does sell. The red.
And then now won a World Beer Cup medal. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's right. You won two World Beer Cups. We were talking about this before we started recording, but please tell us about the success.
Yeah, it was crazy. We weren't really sure if we should even enter in the competition because the World Beer Cup happens every 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So we're every time that our brewery's been able to enter, we've won a medal, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Especially with how many beers are out there. And so many people are making such great beer just to be recognized, you know, our brewery specifically.
Yeah.
Making quality craft beers is an honor, truly. So what happened with Devil Dog Stout, I'll never forget. It was actually in Denver, the CBC, that or the Craft Brewers Conference that year. And I didn't go. I was like,
It's right down the road. You
so I was literally watching it like on Twitter, I think, or something like that. And we were at one of the local tap houses just having a beer. And all of a sudden, I'll never forget, it was like, my phone, the live stream, like cut out for a second, and then all of a sudden it came back, and all I saw was like Devil Dog go across the screen, and I was like, "Holy shit! Did we just win?"
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden my phone just starts blowing up. There's all these messages start coming through, and we're sitting in the bar, we're like, "Yes, we won!" And we didn't know what we won, but we thought maybe we won gold, but we won bronze, which is great. Don't
it's
get me wrong.
It's even an honor just to be nominated.
It's just,
right?
Yeah, right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we're
wow,
literally dude. We started buying rounds for everybody in the bar, going crazy, and it was like 11:30 at night. We went back to the brewery, and there was like 50 people outside the brewery waiting to come in. And like they were just wanted to celebrate
the best advertisement you could ever have.
And yeah, because we close at 10 o'clock. So we, I think people just wanted to come see us and like congratulate us on just being recognized like that, especially in Colorado, where it's a big deal for Colorado Breweries to place. I mean, the Colorado Brewers Guild puts a big emphasis on that. And so we were able to win and literally just open up. I think we partied till like 4 o'clock in the morning, just crushing Devil Dog Stouts all night long. It was awesome.
That's so cool.
Just to be there with our fans, people that really helped the brewery get it going from the start. Especially like our brewery, man, you know, my wife and I started on 18 credit cards. Like that's not really a common story we talk about, but 29 banks in Colorado turned us down. So I found out in 8 hours, we took out 18 credit cards, balance transferred $350,000 in credit card debt into the business. And that's how we started it.
That is an insane story. It's something that I don't think you'd probably recommend to other entrepreneurs out there. So, but it seemed to have worked out for you guys.
So it's funny. I always get asked to do these talks about... I always get asked to speak at these things called like non-traditional funding sources to start a business. And I'm always like, I'm going to tell you how I did it, but I don't recommend it because it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The only thing that I would ever say that was the benefit in doing it the way that we did was no bank secured any of our assets. So they couldn't take our home because it's credit card debt. It's not secured debt.
They would just come after you until the day you died and the interest would keep accruing, but they're not going to take your business or your equipment, or your house or
my car, anything like that. Yeah.
Your daughter
dog. No. So I'm not telling you to do this. Don't. It's stupid. It kept me out for the last 4.5 straight years.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I paid it off December 31st.
All of it.
Done.
Boom. So happy new year. Done. New year, new you.
Just said new done beer. With it.
Yeah.
Yep. So we just cleared it out and that was kind of a big goal for us. So that's how we started, actually.
Okay.
And then, we've just kind of been running ever since.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we talked about Devil Dog Stout and I just finished this one. So let me go ahead and get a little bit of that.
You want that or you
want
to do Hefeweizen?
I'll do the Hefe, actually, and then we'll go to Stout.
I kind of threw us out of a little bit of order. But.
No, it's okay. Hey, yeah. Now, is this Hefeweizen? So, for me, Hefeweizen is a little bit polarizing because I think majority of Americans really don't understand what the hell a Hefeweizen actually is. And when I was in college, I had the opportunity to do a semester in Europe, and I definitely found my way to Munich.
Yeah.
And I had an actual Hefeweizen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is what... they're calling Blue Moon back home. Or this is what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, so like very banana-y, very clovey.
Yep.
Fruit lemon is a flavor. So is this like Bavarian style Hefeweizen?
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I mean, it's tons of bananas. I mean, you'll get the bananas for sure. A lot of cloves. We actually ask and recommend people like pour it hard, pour it fast. And we actually rouse the can before we actually pour it. So we'll actually start spinning it around inside the can. And what I usually do is I'll actually pour a little bit off.
Give that a shot there. I love the can. It's got some olive drab green on it.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be like a Huey like paint job.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So you got like the rescue on it.
Yeah.
Not a step.
It's funny.
Yeah, man. Fire panel.
I was going to ask, since you were artillery, I mean, I wasn't an artilleryman, but from what I understand about it, I looked a little bit of up knowing you were going to come in here. Precision is the name of the game.
Yeah, bro.
So having that frame of reference in your mind, how does that transfer over to brewing? And brewing adds in a whole other science background to it. So like, did you have to take a crash course in chemistry or did you hook up with a brewer? How did you actually...
Yeah, so... So we're able to attract and retain some really phenomenal brewers that believed in our mission, what we're trying to do, keep pushing the distribution side of things. We now have three brewers and we're adding a fourth.
Oh, wow.
Just to keep up. And that's pretty much 6 days a week, 18-hour days.
Straight brewing.
Just all the time. Just keep grinding.
Where's your distribution?
So we just do Southern Colorado.
Okay.
So just south of Denver. So we don't actually venture into Denver. We do a good job down where we're at.
Okay.
And then, you know, we venture out like through military bases and things like that from time to time, just kind of test the waters a little bit. But yeah, that's good.
Well, you got to make your way over to Colorado to have it. And the beer's great.
Thank you.
So this is Hefeweizen here. You nailed it. The color
it's really good.
It's like a straw color, what a Hefeweizen should be.
Yeah, nice and cloudy.
Exactly.
People are like, oh, it's you not clear. I'm like, no, man. Like, that's what we say, like, rouse the can. So, rouse. What does rouse mean? Like, just kind of spin it around in your hand.
Gyrate it.
Almost like a centrifuge, kind of like. You're kind of spinning up any sort of particulates at the bottom back up into the beer.
And so, this Blue Nose Porter, let's talk about that.
And we run in the brown porter category. Mm. And just a great, delicious beer. It's going to have... People are always like, oh, it's coffee. No, it's roasty notes. It's really kind of what kicks it off and starts. And then we finish it with some great chocolate malt on the back end. So you really get this kind of roastiness. And all of a sudden, this chocolate notes just kind of smash your palate. And it's just delicious. So it's awesome. One of our best sellers, for sure. in Colorado Springs. So.
And these are all the flagship beers that you brew. Would you get all your hops from Colorado?
No, we don't, actually. Not okay. All of them. There aren't a lot of huge hop farms in Colorado.
I didn't think there were. I don't know why I asked that question.
It's mostly like the Yakima Valley, like Oregon, Washington.
Yeah, that's where
so
a lot
we go
of
up there like once a year to check on our crop, and we partner with our farmers up there to help us out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's all right. God, this is so much fun. Everybody out there, if you, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but start a beer podcast. This is the best idea I've ever had.
It doesn't suck, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't suck.
People always ask me, what's it like owning a brewery, bro? And I'm like, it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm poor and I sleep on the ground sometimes because I'm tired. But
and you were worried about massive credit card debt up until a few weeks ago. But now you're a new man.
Crazy.
New set sales. Cool. Do you employ any other veterans?
So out of my 11 employees, half are veterans.
Wow. So 5.5.
So, wait, I'm just saying, no, I was counting myself, 10.
Okay.
So if I'm in, then we have 6. So out of my 10 employees, 5 of them are veterans, and if you count me, there's 6 of us.
Well, yeah, definitely count.
For 11.
Yeah. I think craft beer and the military community, for me, I think go hand in hand. Because one thing, when I first started getting into craft beer, when I was in college, after the Army, actually, when I was in college, I was drinking, like, you know, Miller High Life in the barracks.
The good stuff.
The champagne of beers. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Beer's in my blood, right?
Yeah.
And I could buy it on Fort Campbell at the shop at, I think, for like $3.97, I think, back in
that's 08 crazy.
Or whatever. Because, of course, there's no tax. So less than $4, you know, that's something to do on a Thursday night or Tuesday morning, right?
Yeah, totally. That's awesome.
So I turned 21 in Iraq in my first deployment.
Oh, no.
My 21st birthday. My mom had the foresight to send me a rum cake, and it had like a little jig of rum in there. And she's like, no, just pour it over. The instructions she mailed me were just pour it over the cake and eat it. And I was like, hell no. I tried to, I swallowed the jug and trying to see if I can get a buzz, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
But the day I came back from deployment, I was like basically 21 in the United States for the first time. And, you know, like, we got back like a, I don't even know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, like a weird time. And, you know, we handed in the weapon and went back, and I had a room in the barracks because, you know, I was a single soldier. But before I did that, I walked to a shop at, because I couldn't get my car out of impound, was it in impound? It was in like storage. Couldn't get out till like the next day.
It's basically impound.
Yeah, it is impound. Yeah. It was free, right? So I didn't pay money on it. But I walked and I got a 6-pack of Killian's Irish Red.
Nice.
And a bottle of, what was it? It was Captain Morgan's, but it was Tattoo, their black rum.
Okay.
They don't make it anymore, and there's a reason for that. And I bought a 2-liter Coke, and I remember, and I rented, I think I rented or bought 2 movies, right?
Yeah.
And I just went back, and it was nothing to do, middle of the night, and I was jet lagged. So I got into the 6-pack and started drinking the rum, and woke up the next morning, had half a bottle of rum, and the movies were like, I couldn't tell you what they were about, right? I think I had 2 beers left, so I definitely, you know.
You had a good time.
Yeah,
well-deserved, well-earned good time.
Of course,
time.
Yeah. But what I want to say is that craft beer in the military go hand in hand because it is a sense of community. You know, you're in this competitive space in Colorado, and it is like one of the biggest craft beer states, if not the biggest craft beer. Maybe North Carolina.
I would say like California, Oregon. Yeah.
Or definitely Oregon. You get Deschutes.
I think California's hit 1,000 breweries.
Wow.
Someone told me that the other day, and I was like, what? 1,000? I mean, having so many breweries, so many great breweries, drives competition, which is good for you, the consumer.
Actually, let's talk about the beer that you just poured me that I have been sipping on.
The deliciousness?
It is great. You mentioned that it's got some chocolate on the back end. Yep. I definitely get the chocolate. I get the roastiness on the front end, especially on the nose.
Yep. Big time on the nose.
Definitely. You say this is a porter or a brown ale?
We call it a brown ale, but it really crosses into that porter brown category.
Okay. That's great.
Thank you.
I'm a seasonal drinker, and this is a definitely kind of beer that I would drink next to a fire or something at night. How did working in the craft beer industry change how you drink or how you appreciate? I'm sure it turned upside down.
Yeah, the appreciation for it has always been there, but especially now, especially when you find a beer that you're like, damn, that's a great beer. And then you start asking questions like, how did you do it? Like, what? And you start kind of breaking it down. Hopefully you can get with the owner or, you know, whoever made it. But if not, it's really just kind of that that continual search for knowledge.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do in life, it's kind of the same thing here. Like, for us, that's our passion. That's what we look at. It's always improving yourself and your quality and ultimately your craft. And hopefully people can realize that because, you know, we don't brew beers on the millions of gallons level like some people do.
Yeah, which is, you know, okay. There's room for that.
Yeah. I mean, we're 700 gallons a pop, you know?
Yeah.
And to think that beer's got to move in 90 days.
Wow.
Because that's our quality standard.
That just sounds like pressure.
Yeah,
like
a lot of pressure.
You know,
to think that all that beer gets sold in that, you know, 90, 100 day mark.
Yeah.
you know, it's truly a good reflection on the brewery, because we put that back on our, you know, on our distributors and things like that. This beer has to sell in this amount of time, or else we're going to pull it out of the market.
Yeah.
Because we know one bad beer can lead people in the wrong direction about your brand.
Yeah, that's true. When you're talking about food and beverages, you don't get a second chance. Yeah, I eat at a restaurant once, it's terrible, I'm not going to go back.
The ultimate responsibility always falls on the brewery, as it should.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to make sure that line's cleaned. We need to make sure that servers know what they're talking about when they're telling a consumer, like, hey, try Red Leg, try this beer.
Yeah.
It's not the restaurant's fault if certain things happen to the beer while it comes out. It's not the distributor's fault for, you know, whatever, because ultimately it relies on you anyway. That's, like, they don't Yelp or they don't go on Untappd and smash the distributor for the bad beer, right?
Yeah, like I can't name a beer distributor, right?
Yeah.
But I know the bartender that they served me the wrong beer or something like that. But that eventually it's going to fall back to the brewer. Let's go ahead and get that last one.
I got two more.
Oh my god, two more.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, right? That's awesome. Insane. But we got Devil Dog Stout here.
Devil Dog.
Now that's paying homage to our Marine Corps sisters out there.
Yep.
So what's a Devil Dog?
So Devil Dog is what back in World War I is what the Germans referred to as the Marines, because they fought crazy devil dogs.
Yeah,
man. Yeah. So that's kind of where it all came from. It's a great beer. It got third in the World Beer Cup in the foreign style stout category. Wow.
It's one of the more competitive categories.
Absolutely.
Think,
yep.
Yeah.
And so it was our first medal that we took home. We opened in 2013, but that was the first time we could actually compete in a World Beer Cup.
Was in 14. What year was this? 14, okay.
Yep. So it was great, man. It's got that really rye, peppery start to it.
It definitely does, yeah.
Some great malts going on in there.
It looks like a great stout.
It's phenomenal.
It looks like a great stout. And instead of a can, and I'll be honest, usually stouts I've had out of a can, I am not impressed with.
Yeah.
Or only because I know the best stouts or the great stouts, I prefer to have them on draft.
Sure.
All beer I prefer to have on draft. But a stout out of a can that's good, I think is exceptional and should be commended. And this is a great stout out of a can.
Appreciate it.
So
it's one of our best sellers in cans.
Mm.
This beer just flies off the shelf, and it's just, you don't find a lot of craft breweries kind of saying, like, this is a flagship beer for us. This is a beer that we keep in the market 365 days a year.
Yeah,
because it just goes so well. It's just it's so easy drinking for a stout. I think people are always like, wow. They're always
smooth.
Like, is it like 4.5%? It's like, no, it's like 7%.
This is a 7% beer.
7.1.
Okay, I thought for sure because a lot of stouts, they tend to be on the lower ABV. Like sometimes less. The best ones that I like are like between like 4.5-5% for ABV. But this is a 7%.
Yeah,
it doesn't taste like it.
Not at all.
It'll sneak up on you. I gotta slow down here.
It come gets you real quick.
Yeah, it's
delicious, man. No, a lot of people like it, and the feedback on this beer has been great since day one. So
yeah, cool.
Really excited about it.
Well, what can we expect from you in the future, and how can people find your beer?
The best way to find us is redlegbrewing.com or any of our social media outlets at Red Leg Brew Co. We have all the Twitter and the Instagram and the book face and all that good stuff.
The old book face. That's so funny.
We keep it pretty updated, so we're always doing stuff every day. And you know, we do a lot of cool things in our community. We just launched a thing called the Cannon Crew, which is our almost like a charity nonprofit wing that we started for the brewery.
Oh, wow.
So we actually hired a person to do all of our veteran and community outreach. So we're in the process of building a home for a local veteran who needs help through Habitat for Humanity. A couple weeks ago, we were down at the food bank helping out peel potatoes and things like that. And that's just, you know, using what we have to our advantage to say, like, you know what, we have this pretty loyal following.
Yeah.
See if people want to help us and make our community better. So we really love doing things like that to help out. I'm the founding member with another guy, Dan Ackerman. Shout out to...
Hey, Dan.
Hey, buddy. And a couple other guys that helped us get the Veterans Beer Alliance off the ground. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I have, only because I've started this podcast and I've looked into it. But tell everyone what it is.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like the founding member, one of the founding members of that.
Founding member. Okay,
yep.
Cool.
And it's a national organization of veteran-owned breweries working together to reduce our economies of scale. So we basically have the buying power of a large regional brewery, but yet spread out over these smaller breweries throughout the country.
So imagine like a consortium or a guild, if you will, like a brewer's guild, I guess the closest thing I would compare it to is almost like the NFL, where you guys all throw into a pot, and or how does this work? Do you guys do profit sharing? Or?
We don't do stuff like that. It's more like a, like I don't. I almost like want to call like a trade organization. It's probably a better way, maybe, because we don't lobby. We don't do anything like that, like a guild would do.
Yeah, basically,
what we say is, don't you want to support veteran brewers across the country?
Right.
To like our huge suppliers. And then they help us with pricing. And then we basically bring on the organization to buy from them.
Okay.
And we say, hey, as veteran brewers come on board, we'll give them the preferred vendor list on who we all use.
Yeah.
And things like that.
How many breweries do you
38
have?
38 of us now.
38 of you.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah,
hope I can get each and every one of them on the podcast.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah.
It'd be awesome. Cool, man. Well, thank you for coming and sharing the love and the beer. Definitely appreciate it. And Red Leg Brewing, check them out. Great beer.
Thanks. Cheers.